Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 3 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're enjoying the podcast so far as we kind of continue to plug along with this idea of discussing some of the local Twin Ports racing scene, kind of the results that have happened, what upcoming races, some tidbits and information that we feel is important to get out there for the local runners. And hopefully it's entertaining and enjoyable for all of you guys. Today's episode, we're going to kind of count down some of the upcoming races. We're going to go over some race results here in the past 2 to 3 weeks as well. We'll have an interview with local racer Nick Nygaard. A lot of people probably know his name or know Nick. We're looking forward to that. And we'll do a few other tidbits as well towards the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mike and I, we're ready. Let's talk about a little bit about some of the results that have happened here in the past 2 to 3 weeks. We've got 3 different NMTC races that have happened. With the extra one on that Monday, Sunday, that Sunday race, that longer one that they do. So
Spirit Mountain.
Yep, the Spirit Mountain one. We'll start there since we're talking about it now. That one was won by Nick Nygaard, and then on the female side by Emma Spoon. That's a fun little race, a little different characteristics than their normal NMTC races. That one's 5 miles out, 5 miles back, all on a gravel road. Still hilly, like most of the NMTC races are, but a really fun race, a little bit more of a road kind of feel to that one.
Not technical at all compared to the other ones.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I guess technically there is a touch of trail at the beginning and the end off of Spirit Mountain, but that trail is really more of a one-lane dirt road more than anything, and then you get onto the gravel road. And what else did we have? We had Point Pine down at Park Point. I can't remember if we spoke about this last time or not. I don't think we did. That one is pretty flat for an NMTC race other than the sand hills, which is not only sand, but it's also a hill. So it really slows you down kind of right in the middle. You have to do that 2 times because that's an out and back race. But that's a really fun race and some trail that not everybody get a chance to see out there at the end, kind of going through some of those pine forests. It's really cool. That race was also won by Nick Nygaard. And then on the women's side, won by Sydney Carrolls, the world traveler, Sydney Carrolls. Hope she's listening. And then the other one too, Ely's Peak. That race I think was a little bit different this year, if I remember right, because of some of the rain. They changed the route a little bit to stay off the trails. And that one, when it's normal route, is very technical and difficult. Lots of steep ups and downs. That one was also won by Nick Nygaard, and on the female side, won by Erica Wagner. So a lot of depth on the women's side of different winners for the 3 different races.
I was at the Ely's Peak run, and yeah, that was predominantly on the DWP trail, so that's pretty flat, just flat gravel, but of course there's the huge hill coming down from Skyline straight down to the DWP, then it was out and back, and then all the way back up the hill, so definitely hard, but not the same sort of technical. It wasn't on that Spear hiking trail, which it generally is.
Yeah, that's a long grind coming up from the DWP grade, but all the way back up. Did you start in that parking lot?
It was the same start-finish parking lot. Yeah. And it was kind of snowing that day.
Man.
It was rough conditions, like pelting your face on the way back.
Well,
windy.
And we're going to touch a little bit on some of the rough conditions here later on in the podcast that we've all been dealing with a little bit. But yeah, that's a cool race, and that DWP grade is a really nice place to run. Again, not technical at all. Former railroad grade, for those of you who don't know, so you can picture like Whistle Stop, that course, and anytime you get a former railroad grade running route, it's bound to be relatively flat and not a lot of technical turns and things. So that's a fun one to do for sure. What else did we have recently? We had a couple of somewhat local ones. One was Eau Claire. They had a 5K, a half marathon, a full marathon down there. Early May, I want to say it was May 5th this year. A nice one to get down there and do if you get a chance. And the half marathon, one of the a friend of mine, Kathy Bray, did the half marathon. And then Emily Opacic, I'm not sure how she pronounces her last name. She won, or she didn't win, but she ran the 5K as well down there. I didn't really see anybody in the full marathon list that I was aware of, though there were some Duluthians down there. I just didn't recognize a lot of the names. So if you're listening and you did finish the full, give us a shout out on our Facebook page and let us know. And then also the TC 1 mile, 1 mile race down in the Twin Cities. A couple of locals. One was Kyle Larson. He ran a 447. He's a former UMD runner and lived here in Duluth, a good friend of ours. He's now down in the cities. Mm-hmm. And then a local, Peter Mack, had a nice time with a 515 down there at the TC 1 mile. So that was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. We also had Superior Spring just 2 days ago, which was May 18th. So I think the conditions were okay for that. I saw some pictures look real muddy. So, and that's kind of par for the course for that race. But the 50K, out and back 50K, was won by Corey Woltering. I think he had a second place, I believe, at the Superior Fall 100, either last year or 2 years ago. I think he's pro or semi-pro out of Illinois. So he had a 4:13. Former Duluth resident came in second place in the 50K, Matt Eidenschink. I've done some runs with him. He's a good guy and definitely super talented runner. He had a 4:15 on the 50K course, which is a stellar time. Greg Daw, local Duluth resident, sixth place overall with a 4:40. Nice work, Greg. And Gretchen Metza, she wins a lot of ultra marathons. She is on the Iron Range, Minnesota. I wouldn't say local Duluth runner, but pretty dang close. And she's always down in this area, part of the world, cleaning up trail races. So she won the 50K in 5:12, super fast time for first overall. Some other 50K times: Jaron Kramer, 5:37; Tim C, 6:15; Jesse and Josh Schoenberg; Leith Sayala with a 7:51. We had David Spencer with a 7:53. Some other local Duluthians: Brian Landstrom, I think he does every ultra marathon in the state of Minnesota, and Shelly Thompson also finished the 50K. So a lot of locals for that race, and even more in the other races. They have a 25K and a 12.5K. So just some shout outs quick. Dan LaPlante, I don't think he lives in Duluth, but kind of local guy. Just under 2 hours, 1:59, fourth overall. Kurt Kaiser, 2:03. Joe Calgary, 2:07. Nicholas Whitbread, 2:08 in the 25K. Good for ninth place. He won last runner standing last year, but okay. He's out of Thunder Bay.
Yep.
Kent Ogston, 13th place overall.
Nice. Good job, Kent.
Yeah, with a 2:12, 8:31 pace. Not too bad. Third place, Master Male. Nice job, Kent. Tim Kufall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Tim.
Yep.
But he was on the list, 2:14 in the 25K. Anna Lottie, first overall. Nice. Nice work, Anna. Matt Lee, 2:16. Luke Alvarez, Steven Rodriguez out of Duluth, Minnesota with a 2:19. Kalen Williams, 2:20. Who else do we got? We have a lot of people. So
a lot of locals really showing up well on the 25K. That's pretty impressive.
Jody Zell, Zinekar. Jeff Lino, Cloquet, Minnesota, 2:31. Nice work, Jeff. Yeah, a lot of people in the 25K. I could go down this whole list, I think. Adam Schwartz Lowe in the 12.5K with a 1:01.53. Good for fourth place. Nice work, Adam. A lot of locals showing up, and that's a super fun, semi-local race. Another one, Dan Duff, 1:19.47 in the 12.5K. Nice work, Dan.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Duluthians.
It's impressive.
Doing that race. So good showing, and obviously a super fun race. Great time to be on the SHT, even if it is a little muddy. You want to talk about some upcoming races,
yeah,
Tony?
Yeah, some of the upcoming ones. I think that kind of runs down most of the results that we were able to kind of track down and find, at least for some of the bigger races around. Some of the upcoming races coming up, of course, there's still NMTC races. The Woodland Run, I know, is coming up pretty quick. And
that's going to be that's a makeup for May 29th, the Woodland Run, because it was inclement conditions. I believe it was last Wednesday.
Yeah, it was a little bit wet. And then the Billings Drive one is this coming Wednesday as we're recording this now. We're recording on Monday the 20th. And so on the 22nd out in Superior, the Billings Drive race. And that one, I think, is going to be also a gravel road race. I don't think they've got the distance set yet. They don't know quite where the turnaround will be. But that one will start, I believe, it usually starts at the archery range there at the parking lot and go out and back from there. Beautiful route, beautiful running road, hilly and curvy, but really super scenic. And if you see a bear, you'll run even faster. So... those are coming up, those two NMTC races. Also, Brian Kraft is a really fast 5K, road 5K down in the cities on Memorial Day, part of the USATF circuit, so you get some super fast people down there for that race.
Looking for that today.
We record, it started at 9 a.m., and the firefighters 10 mile up in Thunder Bay, and I know Jarl's there doing that. Good luck, Jarl. Hope you do well. And I know, hopefully, I know some other local people too. Scott Bailing, is that right?
I think Scott Bailing is gunning for the win. Yeah. So we'll see if he can bring it home to Duluth. Former Duluth resident Matt Welch may take the win as well. I know he's a super fast runner. I believe he lives in California as a professional runner right now. I guess you might have to fact check me on that. But
He from the sounds of it, he wasn't sure if he's going to race or not, and we actually never found out for sure if he was going to be there, but he might be there looking to do that as well. But a race that's been around for a long, long time and one that I hope to get up to do sometime. I think that'd be fun. So that's going on right now. What else do we have? We have Last Runner Standing. I know Mike's looking forward to that, a trail race up in Spirit Mountain, kind of a cool setting. I'll let Mike talk about that here in a little bit. And then also a couple of smaller trail races, but I've done both of them, and they're both a lot of fun. The John Gallo 5K in Leicester Park, and also the Congdon Cougar Chase is coming up, and that's a super fun race as well.
The Cougar Chase is canceled this year.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
I think it's still on Northland Runner, but we did the race timing for it, Duluth timing.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it this year. They it's a fundraiser for Congdon School,
right.
And they decided to do like a different. Huh. It's kind of like a glow run.
Okay.
In their school, in the gym, and
it's maybe not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's just a different type of fundraiser, and it's kind of a bummer because a lot of people from the community really like the Congdon Cougar Chase.
Yeah,
and I know it's tough to put on, and there's sometimes thin margins with the race like that.
It is. It's a ton of work, and that race grew and grew and grew, which actually made the work a lot more difficult as it went on as well. Yeah. That's too bad because it was a great race, and everybody involved with that, there's always some different race directors, always just did a tremendous job. And the reason why it grew and grew and grew is because it was so well done and so well put on. So that's, I get it. It's disappointing that it went away, but I get it that it's hard work for maybe not the greatest, results
for
of what you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, similar course. If you want to go out to Leicester and race the John Gallo 5K, I'm pretty sure it's almost exactly the same route as the Cougar Chase was.
Yeah.
So that's a lot, really fun race, too.
And another fundraiser.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I know the lady who puts that on, too, Marianne, she does a great job in her third year of doing this race, I think, now. So
Yeah,
that's a cool race.
It's grown.
Mike, talk a little bit about Last Runner Standing while we're still kind of on this part of the show.
Yeah, so Last Runner Standing is coming up on June 8th, and so that is a... super unique trail race here in Duluth. It's at Spirit Mountain, and so it is a 4.16667 mile loop.
Roughly 4.1666.
And so the point is that the first race starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 8th, and so it's one loop, and then the second race starts at 11. And the third race starts at noon, fourth race at 1, and so on and so on. And so the rules are that you have to finish the loop before the start of the next race. And to continue your race, you have to start the next one, at the top of the hour. And so essentially, the race ends when there's just one last runner, hence the name Last Runner Standing. And you run as far as you can go. So the two ways to become eliminated are you're too slow, you can't finish the loop within an hour, or I guess you bow out. So that happened to me last year. I bowed out, and it's tough. It's a mental challenge for sure because, the miles really stack up, and, it's the same course, so it's mentally kind of tough. But Also, it's kind of cool because, you know, there's a lot of strategy involved. You know, do you go fast every loop and try and rest?
Give
or do
extra
you
rest?
Yeah, or do you try and do it kind of slow and steady and minimize the rest? And yeah, I think it's going to be really fun to watch this year. I think it's going to be a really deep field. I know we have some people like Brandon Johnson, second place last year. I know he's training really hard for it. I'm going to do a shout out to him later. I know that we have Scott Hoberg. He's a local super long distance guy. I mean, I know that he can be on his feet for days on end.
Yeah, he should do well.
So he should do well. I mean, kind of that long, slow, steady stuff. Jake Sari, he's done attempted a superior hiking trail through hike, actually, and he got really far, so he can roll miles, that's for sure. I mean, there's a lot of locals going to be there too, and a lot of people training for some longer races, Superior 100 and stuff like that. So
my buddy Dave Schuneman hopping in again.
Dave Schuneman, you know, he's always good for a 50 miler here and there any given day of the year.
Yeah.
So that's a super fun race. You know, you can still sign up too, I believe, even if you go for a couple loops. And I know that the race director, Andy and Kim Holak, they do preems. And so on a certain loop, if you have the fastest loop, you get like a six pack of beer or something. So you could go, you know, run, you know, a half marathon or something and maybe try and go for the preem, and it's still kind of fun. You know, go watch. And I'm excited to spectate a little bit and see how people kind of stack up. So that's going to be super, super cool.
Yeah, I went and watched last year, and it's a really fun race to spectate at, because you just kind of wait at the start-stop area down in the big parking lot at the bottom of the lower chalet off of Grand, and just wait for the runners to come in, and then they're kind of hanging out for a little bit. They tend to be a little more cheerful first couple, three, four loops, and a little less cheerful as the day goes on. But it's super fun to kind of watch that progress and just kind of see the whole race kind of go down.
So last year the race went on 22 laps, which is about 91 miles. Tony, not exactly knowing the list, I mean, you have an idea of who's racing. We mentioned some names. How many hours is it going to go this year?
Oh, man. I would expect about the same. I wouldn't expect a huge increase, but I'd say about the same. Maybe you might see one more loop or so. That'd be my guess.
I think it's going to go longer. Yeah? I think it's going to go 30 hours.
You think so?
Yeah, 30 hours. Mark my words.
All right. That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's Last Runner Standing on June 8th. I got a couple more upcoming races if you're looking to get into something. If you're looking for more of like a road race, 5K, 10K, Grand Marais, there's a race called Voyage North, and that's through the Voyager Brewing Company. So, you know, run the 5K, run the 10K, get a beer, enjoy the northern Minnesota. That would be pretty cool. And just this weekend, which is May 25th, Saturday, is the Pike Lake 10K. Excuse me, the second annual. So that's an evening race, 6 p.m. up at Pike Lake. Kind of a cool one loop course. And that should be a really fun race as well. So a lot of options kind of leading up to Grandma's in 3 weeks. Around 3 weeks, we're getting to Grandma's week. So, you know, if you're looking to get one of those last tune-ups, there are plenty of options.
All right. That all of our upcoming races right now, I think.
I think that's pretty good for upcoming races. What do you think about a trails report, Tony? Do you want to comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, let's do that right now. Let's take care of that stuff.
Yeah. So as many of you may know, there's a lot of different resources for looking at the trails. I mean, you know, we both really have a you know, we want to know that we're not damaging the trail. And I think what the city kind of says and the general recommendation is, you know, no footprints. If you're making a footprint, turn around. But there is COGS, Cyclists of Gitche-Gumee Shores. You know, they maintain a bunch of mountain bike trails in the area. So they keep a really good trail status notification on their website, COGS.com. With the rain this weekend, they're saying that trails are closed. So
basically, all the COGS maintained trails for sure, both COGS trails and the Duluth Traverse are all maintained by that by that group. And for the most part, they're all closed, as far as I can tell, on their website and on their Twitter feed. Their Twitter feed is a really nice way to follow them and find out specifically if you want to go to Hartley and run. Go to the COGS Hartley Twitter feed and find out what the trails are like. And if they're closed, then don't run there. Same thing with Leicester and Piedmont and that kind of those kind of places as well.
Another website is the City of Duluth Trails Parks and Rec site. And so, you know, that's they actually opened the trails just last week. And so that's a really good way to just get an idea of you know, the complete trail situation. City of Duluth maintained trails. So it looks like the City of Duluth has opened the trails for kind of the dry season, if you will. But just know that, you know, if you're making a footprint on the trails, it's probably best to turn around. So that is the trails report. On to Coach's Corner. Tony, what do you got for Coach's Corner today?
Yeah, so I've always kind of got a lot of ideas, but today I want to kind of keep it a little more short and sweet. And the idea of thinking long-term with your running goals. So often we think of it in terms of these training blocks of 4 to 6 months when I'll do a half marathon or I'll do a marathon. But instead, maybe think about 5 years. Here's what I want to do 5 years from now. And how do I get there? You're not going to write out a 5-year training plan necessarily, but you can bullet point some ideas about how to get there. I want to work on this kind of a thing for a year, and I want to work on this thing here for the next year and build these kinds of strengths slowly. I think it's a benefit to do that. For one, it keeps you motivated. Two, it takes a little bit of pressure off. Say if you have a long-term goal in year 2021, it takes some pressure off of your 5Ks in 2019, because your long-term goal, your a kind of effort approach is going to be a couple of years from now. So it makes you think about things in more of a consistent and slow build process, and I think that's really beneficial to do. So think long-term, come up with a plan that's even at times a little bit audacious for you, and see what you can do slowly but surely to get there.
Nice. That's especially relevant for me because, you know, I had this big plan to thru-hike the Superior Hiking Trail, and I put a lot of effort into it, and I was, you know, I kept kind of telling myself, like, stay focused on this, Mike, and it kind of fell apart, and I pulled the plug, but, you know, I still want to do it, but that's kind of like a 5-year plan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and so if you have we'll call it a 5-year plan, and if you have a setback within that because you're just probably going to have some setbacks, that impact on your plan is so much lessened if you have a 5-year plan. If you have a setback and you have a 4-month plan, that setback has a greater percentage of affecting your 4 months. So that's how what I mean by, like, it takes pressure off of certain things if, like, your 5K doesn't go very well, or you have an injury that you're down for a couple, 3 weeks or whatever, and you've got a four-month plan. That injury has a major, major effect on that 4 months, but it doesn't have much of an effect on 5 years.
It's a long life.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks for the Coach's Corner. Great tip. Now, what I'm into. Tony, what are you into this week?
I am into, there's a lot of things going on in the running world, but the one that's kind of caught my attention here recently, I thought was really interesting and sad, was the Nike and the other companies' kind of policy with pregnancy for some of their athletes, their professional athletes, and not paying them during their pregnancy, during and after their pregnancies when they're not racing. It's really been called to attention by a handful of people in the running world. Kara Goucher kind of leading that charge, and a couple of others. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that was happening, but I still, at the same time, that, you know, it's 2019 and that kind of thing was going on. I know everybody likes to pick on Nike for a lot of reasons because they're the big boy, so they're going to get a lot of the backlash on certain things. But there are other companies that do the same deal, and if that's the industry policy, that's the industry policy. But it simply shouldn't be, as far as I'm concerned. That should not be the industry policy. And I'm glad to see some other companies that are not doing that. Brands like Wazelle support their athletes all the way through, as they should, as far as I'm concerned. Because they still have value. They can still represent those brands in a really, in the way that the brands want them to be represented. It doesn't have to be about all results all the time. I think that's a poor way to go. And hopefully some changes get made here soon. And I really, you know, also just kind of want to give a little shout out to those athletes that are calling that to everyone's attention.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the male athletes don't have that same kind of thing to you know, consider, because, you know.
But honestly, they could. They could yeah, take paternity leave. I don't see any reason why. We have that a little bit in our work life with maternity and paternity leave. Why couldn't they? If the male athlete and their wife has a baby, why can't they take some time off and be with their family and also get paid? I think that's, to me, that's just the right thing to do. And it's just a moral thing. And just because Nike doesn't have to do it, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
Right. What I'm into lately is fastest known time tracking on the Superior Hiking Trail. As it kind of dries up, Tony, we got a barrage. So yep. I think just as
tis the season,
yeah. I think just as the SHT kind of gains notoriety and popularity, you know, with like Superior 100 selling out and stuff, I think we're gonna see a lot more fastest known times on that. So there are two that are going on, you know, within the next 2 weeks here, just starting in May. One is a gentleman, Pat Homyak. I believe he's an ultra runner from California. He has a lot of ultra sign up results, some 100K, 100 miles, a lot of shorter stuff, relatively shorter. And he started yesterday, May 19th. And so I'm tracking that. Check out fastestknowntime.com. You can search for Superior Hiking Trail, and they have a lot of information. The next one is Alex Elizabeth. She is a ultra runner out of Minneapolis, and she's doing a fully supported northbound fastest known time starting May 23rd. Now, Alex has finished Arrowhead, I believe. I think she has some accolades. I don't have them in front of me, but I think she has some accolades for some pretty tough races. So super excited to track her and track Pat and see how they do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Next, Tony, do you got a shout out?
I have one quick shout out to any runner who got their long run in this weekend with the weather the way that it was. I had some people in my training group who did a tremendous job. Getting, whether they're in the half marathon group or the full marathon group, they got their long run in. We were over in Superior, over in Billings Park. It was a beautiful run over there, except for the pouring rain and the cold temps and the wind. There's a special kind of toughness that you need when you get your long run in on weekends like this. And then, of course, Sunday was snowy and windy and cold and wet and gross. And, you know, I have one athlete that got a 20-miler in, so that was really cool to see. Oh, so shout out to anybody who got their long run in this weekend outside. Nice work.
Well, you got to train for the race elements, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's part of the toughness. It's not a lot of fun, but it's part of the toughness that you got to do.
I think you feel a little bit better for it afterwards when you do something like that.
There's a little more sense of pride. You know, you're proud of yourself for getting out there.
I got a couple shout-outs. One is Pete Jonas, my next-door neighbor. He's training for Last Runner Standing. He got a 28-miler in loops around the neighborhood training for that race. And another friend training for Last Runner Standing, Brandon Johnson. He did 10 loops on the course, I think, last week. And so, yeah, just kind of like we were talking about Last Runner Standing, excited to track that. One more shout-out that I want to do is local runner Kyle Sather. He has a run streak, and it is it's getting close to, as you said earlier, the comma. So June 9th, he thinks June 9th is his day that he gets to 1,000 days in a row with one or more miles. So that's just super cool. Nice work, Kyle.
Nice work, Kyle.
Getting close. That's super exciting. So, hey, we might need to do the Duluth Rundown party for him or something like that, huh?
Yeah, maybe we should bring Kyle. We might bring you in for an interview and talk about a thousand straight days of running.
Yeah, all right. Done deal.
Okay, let's start our interview process. Now we are joined here by Nick Nygaard. Many of you probably know Nick, or at least know his name. He's a local runner, and he's a fast guy. He runs just super fast. He runs everything from, you know, road 5Ks to marathons to trail races, 100-mile trail races, Ironman triathlons. He's kind of done it all in the past, what, 5 or 6 years post-college or so?
Yeah.
Something like that. He's really done a lot of stuff, and it's great to have him here, and got a few questions for him. What I'm kind of curious about, Nick, is kind of how it got going for you for running. Who were some of your mentors? What got you kind of going with running? What kind of got you motivated, really sparked your intrigue in the sport, and how you got up to Duluth and continued on doing what you do?
Yeah, so I would say mostly started running because I kind of became undersized for football.
Yeah.
And practice was basically destroying me, and being the punt return guy with basically, you know, 12 people sprinting at me, it wasn't too much fun. And then going into ninth grade, I kind of figured I still want to do a school sport, and cross country seemed kind of like, you know, an option where I wouldn't get killed. So yeah, I went out for the team. I went to St. Michael Upperville High School, kind of northwest of the Twin Cities over there. And I kind of fell in love with it fairly quick. I really liked the fact that running became something that you get out what you put in. And it was a very measurable way to show that I'm working hard. Basically, going into high school, finding something that I enjoyed hardworking and just putting in the time, putting in the effort. And it kind of just became this progression of the more I do, the more I enjoyed the results. And racing was kind of the main motivation. It wasn't so much of a lifestyle or, you know, feeling healthy or a daily routine as much as it was just trying to get better and trying to be more competitive within the team and within our conference and helping the team out. I'd say very early on, one of my teammates, Dan Greeno, he went on to be a very good runner at Bethel University and ran very competitively in the cities and still does. He was kind of the big dog on the team. And Dan was pretty sweet. He made running fast look really cool. Mm-hmm. He had a very beautiful stride. And you saw him run, you're like, okay, that looks sweet. This isn't just like the sport of like washed up football and soccer players. Dan made winning look really cool. And after a couple of years, I kind of got to the point where I wanted to actually start running year round, and I wanted to be, you know, somewhat cool like Dan. That's really all it was, just looking up to someone who was really cool and wanting to be that guy. I eventually started running over the summer, taking training more seriously. And it made for a good junior and senior year in high school. Then when that time came around, running in college seemed like a no-brainer. It seemed like something I wanted to continue. I hadn't lost the motivation at all. Just wanted to take the next step and wasn't really to hang up the shoes at all. I did 1 year at St. Thomas. Enjoyed the time down there. The cities are definitely different. I don't think they were a great fit for me in terms of just overall environment. And that's kind of what led me into looking at Duluth and UMD specifically. I liked the fact that it was a city enough to keep, I know, the students entertained, but it kind of had a lot of the nature that I was actually looking for. And it's certainly different enough from the environment that I grew up in that I'm like, you know, if it's going to be only a few years, might as well do something different. Came up here. I talked to the guys on the team. Great environment. Great team philosophy. Loved the people I ran with. UMD was a perfect fit. I think being close to the trails within the city, having a bunch of guys who just enjoy getting out in the woods, it was a no-brainer to come up here. And yeah, my time in Duluth was good. I don't think I ever fully ran as well as I wanted to in college. And I think that's probably the case with a lot of people. Injuries pop up. School is pretty challenging at times and, you know, kind of left a little bit on the table, at least I feel like. And after college, I'd say a big part was working at Duluth Running Co. and being surrounded by people who still had a similar mindset as me and people who really love just the sport of running. And it kind of switched from racing as fast as I could and taking training seriously and doing workouts to just kind of enjoying every day out there. And that's kind of what branched into what I've done the last 5 years, where I'm like, oh, you know, someone did this. That looks like a cool race. Sure, I'll do that too. And it became so much more of a, I wanted to participate in what people were talking about versus, you know, I need to run fast or this is what defines me. It was so much more, I want to experience this along with everyone else. And, you know, we're all at the finish line together and we can all talk about it. And it's fun to look back, especially running with friends or doing races that other people have done. It kind of just broadened my horizons in terms of I enjoy exercising. I enjoy the community around here. Everyone's very supportive, and that's kind of been the chapter I've been in the last few years now.
Yeah, cool. I got another question for you, but I'm going to wait until the end of the interview, actually. I'll have to write it down or I'll forget, actually. But, yeah. Mike?
So, Nick, great story. I mean, like, to come from, you know, the kind of more serious, high school, collegiate to realizing just, like, maybe that's not all about, killing yourself every day and trying different races, trying different things. But obviously you still are super competitive in every race that you do. Can you think, kind of like Tony mentioned, do you have like maybe a mentor or someone who kind of instilled that competitive spirit? Because obviously you're a competitive guy.
Good question. I would say a lot of it was just, you know, the guy I mentioned earlier is Dan Greeno. He had a younger brother, Sam, that was my age. And Sam and I were so close in just overall fitness level throughout high school that, like, I felt like I could never take a race off. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, having, you know, 2 months out of the year in the fall and 3 months out of the year in spring for track, basically always racing Sam and always kind of having this idea that, like, you know, I can't slack off. Like, this, Sam's going to beat me if I do. And I think that eventually just kind of gave me the mindset that if I'm racing, I might as well go hard. I don't really, you know, I can jog easy on my own if I want to. I might as well get it out there. And so I would say a lot of it was just wanting to not lose to my buddy Sam Greeno. Sam, I love you.
Yeah, that might just be like a gene or something, like just the way you are, you know, competitive, who knows.
But I think the essence of competition is it's friendly competition. The word compete means to strive together. It doesn't mean to battle against somebody. It means to strive together. Huh. And that's truly where the best comes out of both people, if it's two, if it's three or whatever. But you work hard together and then everybody gets the most out of themselves. That's what the word compete means. I think that kind of embodies it right there.
That'd be a perfect definition. Yep. Yeah. We both got better, I think, because of each other.
Yep. Without doubt. Yep. So competition can be a really, really good thing for sure.
I mean, you can just push yourself harder with a bib on versus if you're by yourself at the track. And I think you would agree with that, Nick.
Oh, man. I'm the worst solo time trialer of all time. All right. Like, not even close to race pace. Can't do it.
Yep. Me either. I hate them. Yeah.
So Nick, if you could think back your whole career, do you have any moments or even kind of like spanning, you know, from high school to college to beyond, kind of moments or races that you're proud of or like extraordinary kind of achievements for you personally or what sticks out to you over the, you know, your running career?
Yeah. So you can look at it as, and what's more impressive to yourself, is it to run really fast at a certain distance which has its own difficulties, or is it to do something you didn't think you could do? Mm-hmm. And I mean, in both, in some regard, they're just really difficult in very different ways. I still look back at the 100 miler and I still say that was the first race that I really thought this wasn't going to happen. And I was just, I'm like, dang it. You know, I was just so disappointed in myself for hours knowing that I was going to drop out. So eventually to like kind of pull myself together and get through that, it wasn't a speedy time by any stretch, but it was an experience that I knew I wanted to have. And I think having other people, know I was doing this put a lot of pressure on myself in a good way. Mm-hmm. But I also became really bummed out that I was going to have to tell them I was going to drop out. Getting through that was definitely the one thing I look back at and being like, hey, way to grind out the toughness and way to just get through it. So,
and you're talking about 2015 Superior Fall 100.
Right? 2014.
2014, yep. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a very different race than when you did it. You did it speedy. I'm like, geez, man, Mike just ran this thing, got it done. Like, this is awesome. And then I started thinking, maybe I could do it again. And then I remembered how much it was a struggle. So maybe not.
Maybe not. That's a long day.
Yeah.
That's a long day. Yeah, any other race highlights that stick out to you through the years? Like, great performances or something you really trained hard for?
You know, it's funny. After college, I don't think I ever put myself, like, super all into one thing. I would say the Ironman that Mike and I did in, fall of 2015, that was probably the most dedicated I'd been in training. And actually, I would say my races during that training were probably the most impressive races I had ran. And I think part of it is because I wasn't so focused on those races. Grandma's that year went wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I had zero expectations. I figured it's a good day to get a long run. It's in the city I live in. Might as well do it. And yeah, to not train for specifically that race and kind of have the idea that I'm focused on the next week, it allows kind of yourself in a good mental state where you're not putting all this pressure on yourself. And this isn't that big of a deal, and just run hard and see what happens. So I'd say that and Voyager, about a month or so later, were probably the two best races where I can look back and be like, wow, I did have great fitness. I ran really hard that day, and both felt like a pretty solid result.
Do you think that's a good strategy going forward, like for you or for anyone to say, like, just whatever you can do to relieve that pressure? Or, I mean, is it good to have that race day pressure? Because I think personally, I like to kind of feel like, you know, I better like nail it, or else like everyone's going to be mad at me, or, you know, just like to kind of have those pressures. I feel like I've maybe performed better, but
I go back and forth. I think sometimes the morning of, I'm, whether I really, you know, am all in on that race or not, I still have those nerves. I still want to do my best.
For sure.
I remember in college, we had basically a psych guy come in and talk to us about pressure and race day performance, and how you get too amped up, you actually start to fall back off the bell. You know, it's there's kind of this middle ground that they found where
the sweet spot.
Where performance, you know, you're heightening yourself enough to dig as deep as you can, but you're not getting so ecstatic before the race that you're just mentally going to crumble if something doesn't happen how you expect it to.
Yeah.
I found that if I can just kind of do this, oh, you know, I've got another race coming up, and, you know, I'm not going to die and everything will be okay. it kind of gives me a good, you know, roll with the punches kind of thing, because everyone has their race goals and race expectations, but you really don't know what's going to happen race day and how you're going to feel, or weather or conditions or whatever it is. And so I think constantly adapting, and it sounds weird, but I almost make new goals throughout the race.
Yes. No, exactly. The question I hate before a race when people ask me is, how, what do you think you're going to run, or whatever, what are your time? Like, I honestly don't know. And people get so mad when you say that. I don't know. They think you're like, you're sandbagging, or you're, I mean, I guess within an hour I have a pretty good guess of my marathon time, but I don't know. It's a marathon. You never know. Or with a 5K, it might be 5 minute difference, you know?
Yeah.
It's, things happen out there. You don't know and how you're going to react to them and what's going to go down.
Yeah. To a T. Constantly adapting, never getting too rigid.
Yep, for sure. Yep. And being satisfied with the results. I'm a big effort guy. If you give in race time, if you give 100% effort, you didn't fail no matter what happened. You know, if you PR'd by a minute in a 5K, or if you, you know, had to walk a little bit towards the end or something like that, and you weren't expecting that, I think as long as you gave the best effort you can, you've won and you've learned, and you can walk away at least proud of yourself. So. Yeah.
Good words.
For sure.
Do you have any other questions besides your final question, Tony, or should I hop into some?
I have one more and then the final question. That's why I have two more real quick. Well, actually, no, hop into yours.
Okay.
Because one, it ties in.
So, Nick, we always do at the Duluth Rundown, we do a segment, a couple segments. So I want to toss you into our segments. The first one is Coach's Corner. What's a quick tip that you have for our listeners, just any type of tip, advice?
Do whatever you can to be consistent, whether it's in training, whether it's in sleep, whether it's in nutrition. I find that it's hard to find the results of any one given discipline within the running realm if you're not consistent with it. So I find that just give it time, whatever it is. It's hard to see results overnight, and that's why running is what it is. It can lead to frustration, but in due time, you have to stay consistent to see any change.
Yeah, great. Next, what I'm into. What are you into lately? Is it beer? Is it food? Is it anything? What are you into?
Game of Thrones.
I'm familiar with it, but we don't have a TV. And that. Oh, okay. So I would say the NBA, you know, Eastern or Western Conference, as disappointing as it's been.
Yeah.
I guess a good game was last night.
Yeah, that's right. Double overtime.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm into... I'm kind of into the bike scene right now a little bit, but I wouldn't say I'm taking that competitive at all. Yeah. It's more just a fun way to have variability within the training. So it's kind of neat to geek out on the bike stuff. Running, I don't think there's as much gear involved, so it's hard to get super geeky about it.
Mm-hmm.
Running shoes, you know, I kind of rotate through everything. I got my first pair of shorts in a long time last year. Pretty into those. Pair of Saucony is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say mostly right now, into the bike stuff for sure.
Nice. Yeah. All right, finally, shout out. Anyone have a recent race result or running pal that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'll shout out Ben Sather. He was my teammate at St. Thomas for that 1 year. And Ben went on to, I think he ran like 215 or something out in out west. And yeah, I mean, it was a few months ago. But
was it Cal International?
I believe so.
Pretty sure. December?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fast day.
Yeah, so for Ben to put together a really good marathon like that was super impressive.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Is he still running in Minnesota?
I believe so. Yeah, last I heard.
Nice. Nice work, Ben.
Yeah. Also, I'll shout out the third Greeno, Greg Greeno, my coach. So also my high school coach. So I figure I might as well throw them all in.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of credit to that family for getting me into running how I am now.
Nice. That's cool. I have a couple of questions, and well, one of them is tell us something that maybe about yourself that maybe the general public doesn't know, whether it's some quirky thing or it's something that's maybe, I don't know, mundane or not, but tell us something about you that maybe we don't know. It doesn't have to be running related, but it can be.
Good question. I have kind of two main passions. I would say one of them is this kind of racing exercise realm. The other one, as goofy as it sounds, is I'm pretty passionate about deer hunting too. And it sounds like a not super hand-in-hand thing to go with running, but almost by having a couple to, you know, 2-3 months of the year to focus on something else is really kind of nice. It's almost a natural downtime to really, you know, enjoy another passion and kind of put running and training on the backseat. But in some ways it does incorporate a lot of the things I love about running. You're outside, you're in nature, and you know, you get and we put it out. So it's a
planning.
Yeah, exactly. There's concrete effort and preparation that goes into it, just like running. So it's hard to expect success if you don't do anything to prepare for it. Running's the same exact way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find those two to be kind of like my big things. So in the fall, I typically don't race a ton because I kind of look forward to being in the woods all year and sitting still and doing nothing. So that, I guess, is the exact opposite of running.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think a lot of runners have another hobby, partially because for a runner with our hobby, we can only do it for about an hour a day, you know. And so we get on a weekend, and if you're going fishing, you can hop in the boat and be gone literally Saturday through Sunday. Or golf can take, you know, most of the day too. If you go, you know, a couple of 18 holes or something like that, even 18 holes will take you a few hours. But with running, it's roughly an hour a day. So you've got to have something else to fill your time. A lot of times other runners do it with photography or if like yourself with hunting, or maybe they also golf or do other things. But with runners, I see that a lot. They're doing something else besides their running, collecting agates or something.
Yeah.
Nick, you said that hunting and running don't go hand in hand, but could they?
Possibly. I've actually thought about that before.
I mean, biathlon's a sport, you know, skiing.
Very
and
true.
Shooting.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
If you got a super lightweight bow, put on your back.
Trail run.
Yeah. You can do it with fat biking. Fat biking has definitely got within the hunting scene.
Yeah.
And just getting you back into places that you can't use a, you know, four-wheeler or something like that. So,
like first one across the finish line with the deer carcass wins? Or
Not quite, but that's an idea. Write that down.
Okay. Why don't you just like stick with pheasant or something?
Yeah, that would be way better.
A little easier to carry.
Yeah, you can put it in your pouch.
So one thing that I want to talk about too, you kind of touched on this in your coach's corner, and I want to touch about on a same kind of idea in mind, but I know that you do have currently a running streak going or have had a couple of them. Mm. And that speaks a little bit to that consistency. Talk about some of that with your running streaks. And
Yeah. So I never kind of go out with the idea of like, oh, you know, here comes my streak. I don't know what's at right now.
It just happens.
Yeah.
It just kind of happens. Yeah.
I eventually just find myself where I'm like, you know, I would rather run today than not. Mm-hmm. And then I just say that every single day. Yeah. So I've enjoyed kind of, if I don't ever give myself the option not to run, then you find time, then you make time, you know, and a lot of days it's pretty easy for me to do it on lunch break or, you know, before my wife gets home or whatever it may be. On the days that's challenging is when you have to wake up, but I always figure I'm not busy when I'm sleeping. And so I can always just set my alarm a little earlier and get it in. But I think by mentally telling myself, this is something I'm going to have to do today, you make time to do it, and it doesn't have to be much, but, you know, I would say a lot of the times instead of taking a day off, I'll I'll just jog 20, 30 minutes and, you know, I'm still recovering 23 and a half hours. And
do you feel like then that it's helped your running overall?
I think, yeah. I think so. Yeah. I'm the kind of person that I think if I took one day off, I'd probably take two or three and then it'd be a week or two and then I'd find a new sport.
Yeah.
that's just kind of my personality. So, you know, if you think about it, if you just run an extra 3 miles a week instead of, you know, taking a day off, you know, that's got up to be, you know, 156 miles. A year that you're not going to normally get, and just small little disciplines over a large expanse of time
adds up,
lead to results.
I agree. I don't streak. I've never really done it. I've never been very good at that, but I probably should try to do it a little bit more often. Cause like you say, when you take a day off, it's easy to take two or three cause that body at rest wants to stay at rest. That kind of applies to people as well. I think once you're out and you get a consistent pattern of movement, then you just kind of continue on that same thing. And it doesn't, like, that effort to get out the door becomes less and less effort, I feel like, as you continue on doing it. So, yeah, I think it's super important. I wish I did more of that idea. And, yeah, I think that those are the questions that I had. Yeah.
Cool. What's coming up for you, Nick? Race-wise.
Yeah, I would say the Chester Park 5K.
Uh-huh.
So I'll try to hit that one up again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the only race I'm signed up for right now is a gravel race in August. And that's kind of how I am. I usually wait until the last second to see what's on the calendar and go from there. If I'm in town for Park Point, I'll do that again.
NMTC, of course.
Yep, NMTC.
There's three left. So
yeah, sounds right. And I've enjoyed them. They're always fun. They're always just a way to force yourself to...
So going for the sweep.
Yeah, I guess so. It just depends who shows up, more or less.
Which gravel race?
Day Across Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yep. So, nice.
Did it last year. We'll give it a shot again.
Yep. You and your dad?
Yep. And then two of my buddies that are out of state are going to show up for it, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Fun.
Sweet.
Yep.
Well, thanks for joining us at the Duluth Rundown, Nick. It was fun to chat with you. And, yeah, some cool insights for sure.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, and that wraps up episode number 3 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And, yeah, Mike, tell us about some cool updates for our podcast.
So we're working on getting this podcast up on all channels. We've been on SoundCloud the last 2 weeks, but now for sure we are up on Spotify. So on Spotify, check, search the Duluth Runner, the Duluth Rundown, excuse me. And iTunes hopefully soon, Google Play hopefully soon, and Stitcher hopefully soon. So keep your eyes peeled. If you have any comments, want a shout out, questions, ideas, email us theduluthrundown@gmail.com or go to our website www.theduluthrundown.com and